The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Welcome on this Easter Sunday morning as we gather for our worship, as we've shared in the Easter greeting. I would normally have said that and the congregation would have responded with those words. But it is good to be with you in your homes or wherever we might be on this Easter Sunday morning as we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And so we turn to song and we sing together that song, I Cannot Tell, and I read for you the last line of that hymn. At last the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is King. We sing together. And so we turn to our Lord together in prayer. Let us pray. And so, Lord, you are Saviour, King of the universe. You are our personal Lord and Saviour. And as we draw together in worship, we're reminded of the relationship we have with you. Lord, may you be not only our King of Kings, but may you be the King of Kings. Not only our Saviour, but Lord, the Saviour of the world. And so we honour you, we celebrate you, we worship you this morning, recognising, Lord, that even as we gather together, we don't always get it right. Often, Lord, we've fallen short of your glory, fallen short of the life you've called us to live, not done, said, or thought the things we ought to, but often, Lord, responded too quickly, responded without thinking, said things we shouldn't have. And so, Lord, we come asking for your forgiveness. Please forgive us for all those things we have said, thought, or done, which have so been opposite to the life you call us to live. We think, Lord, of times when we've spoken out in anger, unjustly. We think, Lord, of times when we've told half-truths for self-protection. We think, Lord, of times when we've stayed silent, when we should have stood up for injustice. We think, Lord, of times when we have not acted, when we could have shared your love and grace. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for broken relationships. And Lord, we ask for the forgiveness of all our sins, those which we have mentioned, those of which we're unaware. And we appeal to your mercy and your grace that, Lord, you would forgive us in this moment. May we know the release from guilt. May we know you washing our hearts clean. May we sense the filling of our spirits with your Spirit, declaring that we are free of sin. We no longer need to carry that guilt. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of undeserved grace. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we turn to hear scriptures for this morning.
Our first reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 to 6. Israel's return home. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel. They will be my people. In the desert I showed mercy to those people who had escaped death. When the people of Israel longed for rest, I appeared to them from far away. People of Israel, I have always loved you, so I continue to show you my constant love. Once again, I will rebuild you. Once again, you will take up your tambourines and dance joyfully. Once again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria, and those who plant them will eat what the vineyards produce. Yes, the time is coming when sentries will call out on the hills of Ephraim, "Let's go up to Zion, to the Lord our God." Our second reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and it begins with the empty tomb. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you're looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, then I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni?" This means teacher. "Do not touch me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him, who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. May God bless his readings to us. Amen.
If you were with us last week, you will remember we began Holy Week on Palm Sunday with a sermon entitled "The Voice of Hope." Today we celebrate Easter Sunday, and the title of today's sermon is "The Voice of Celebration." Mary Magdalene had every reason to celebrate. She owed her present reality to Jesus. Tradition claims that she was a prostitute, although nowhere in the Gospels can we find evidence of that. We do know that Jesus had freed her from 7 demons. And we also know that he set her free, and in that way turned her brokenness into wholeness. And so she has much to celebrate. We remember that Mary had been present at the cross of Jesus. While he was being crucified, she had witnessed his death. Not only had she witnessed his suffering and all the events that had built up to that moment, and no doubt because of who Jesus was to her, what Jesus had done for her, she was no doubt shaken. Maybe more than the earthquake had shook the rocks. But that was Friday. Today is Sunday, and it's Mary Magdalene that we read about in the scriptures. She had returned to the tomb on the first day of the week. So use your imagination, if you will, and just try and imagine the situation. Try and picture the story. It's early morning. The Christmas of night is still in the air. The events of the last few days are still raw and painful. No doubt Mary had probably not slept very well. You can imagine the coolness of the path between her feet as she walked towards the grave. You can imagine her hearing the early morning bird song. The sun has just risen, and you've got the first light shining on the blooms and on the flowers. And as light breaks through into the garden of the dead, she arrives at the tomb, but the stone has been rolled away. And she realizes that Jesus' body is not there. Where is his body? What have they done with his body? She had come to anoint the lifeless body of Jesus. She'd come to attend to it, as was the tradition of burying somebody after they had died. But there is the surprise. Not only is the body not there, but Mary encounters two angels, one at the head and one at the foot of the place where Jesus lay. But where has his body gone? What have they done with the body? And then she's faced with another surprise as she encounters the gardener. But to her amazement, it turns out it's not the gardener at all. This is Jesus. This is her Jesus. This is the risen Lord. She came to anoint a dead, lifeless body. And to her surprise, she encounters the resurrected Jesus. Mary Magdalene is a follower of Jesus who had set her free. And now she is the first person to see the risen Lord. The first person to be able to take and share that good news with others. And so despite the cross of Friday, despite Mary having every reason to be sad and riddled with grief, she becomes the person who has every reason to celebrate. The tomb is empty. Not only empty, but she had seen and spoken to her risen Lord. What prevents her from recognizing Jesus? Because it's very interesting that she doesn't recognize Jesus immediately. She thought he was the gardener. What prevents her from recognizing Jesus? Was it her grief? With the memories of Friday and the past week still very fresh in her memory, she had seen him die. Was it her disbelief? I mean, this is impossible. How can this be? It's just not, doesn't make sense. Was it her preoccupation with what she wanted to do and came to do? Today, we come to celebrate Jesus. Today, we've come to church. Maybe we had to come. Maybe we were forced to come, but we came. We're sharing in this moment, in this video. In this moment, are we ready to celebrate Jesus? Or do we only acknowledge him when we need him? Do we only allow Jesus in when we need something? Do we only follow Jesus when it's convenient, as long as it doesn't put us out or cause us to be inconvenienced? How is it that we take so long to recognize Jesus in our midst? Not always, but often. Often we, like Mary, do not recognize Jesus in our midst? Are we so distracted with life, so busy making sure this crisis is sorted out or dealing with that issue, that we forget to look for Jesus? Are we so shaken by our pasts? Are we so governed by our history, our prejudice? Are our eyes so clouded and so full of tears that we don't recognize Jesus? What prevents us from recognizing Jesus, our Savior? Is it our busyness, our work, our home life? Is it all the activities that we're involved in? Seriously? Do we make time for Jesus? Or do we squeeze him out to the fringes? Is it our prejudice? We know what we know, we believe what we believe. Seriously? Are we open to Jesus teaching us new things? Or are we that stubborn and arrogant? Is it our culture? This is what we've always done. This is the done thing. This is what is socially acceptable. We fear what others will think. Seriously, do we include Jesus in our lives? Or do we shift him to the side when it's convenient for us or inconvenient to have him around? Is it our history that prevents us from seeing Jesus? The experience of the past, the experiences of church and faith, and often we have bad experiences of church and Christians. But seriously, do we learn from our past? Or do we keep blaming God for issues? We will only celebrate Jesus as much as we know him. The better we know our Lord, the more we will celebrate him. So let me ask you, how well do you know your Lord? How well do you know Jesus? Seriously, how intimately is Jesus involved in your life? How much do you involve Jesus in your life? In your everyday life? Or do we take Jesus for granted and only turn to him when we need him? May I remind you that Jesus has proved his love for you over and over and over again. Jesus has proved his love for us. He's demonstrated his love for us upon the cross. He's demonstrated his love for us in his birth, his life, his death, and today in his resurrection. And Jesus continues to demonstrate his love for us. And he does that in the gift of community, in the privilege of worship, in the reality of God's grace, in the treasure of relationship with each other and with him. In the evidence of gifts and talents, because all we have ultimately comes from God. In the witness of other believers. There is much to celebrate. Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin was a Russian communist leader. He was part of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. He was well educated in economics and political science, was also a staunch atheist, and rose to the ranks of being the editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda. It was in 1930 when he was addressing a huge crowd in an auditorium, and he spoke for over an hour where he shared about his lack of faith or his atheism, that he didn't believe in faith. In that time, he slated Christianity, he insulted it, and put forward what he believed was good proof and argument against faith. Afterwards, he asked if there were any questions, and a deafening silence filled the auditorium. One man eventually got up and approached the platform, and he mounted the lectern next to Nikolai, and standing there next to the communist leader, he surveyed the crowd, looking first to his left and then to his right. And finally he shouted, "Christ is risen!" En masse, the response from the crowd came back in one voice that sounded like thunder. "He is risen indeed." Today, we celebrate that same Lord. For Jesus, who was mocked and beaten, Jesus, who was crucified, Jesus, who was buried, is now alive, has been raised back to life. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We celebrate our risen Lord with a voice of celebration as we sing together, "Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son." We turn again to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. And so, Lord, today we celebrate you. We celebrate you because we worship you. We celebrate you, Lord, because of what you've done for us. We celebrate you because today we recognize you as being risen and risen indeed. And so, Lord, be alive in each of us. Be alive as we live life. Be alive in our community, in our city, in our country, in our world. You are the risen Christ, the Savior of the world. As we live life from this point on, may we always celebrate Jesus who has saved us, Jesus who has met us, Jesus who helps us to live life and live it well. The Jesus who gives us guidelines on how to live life. And Lord, may our response be to celebrate you by allowing you to be intimately involved in every area of our lives. Fill us with your Spirit, strengthen us so that we may share your grace, we may pass on your love, we may bring to others the message of hope that Easter brings to us. We celebrate you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so receive this blessing as we go our separate ways. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.